What I'd like to do is give you a progress report on what we know about the origin of life on Earth and earliest life on Earth, because that's the only model we have for looking for life anywhere else in the universe. And I'll tell you the reason for focusing on Mars as I go along. But in the opinion of myself and lots of other people, Mars is our best opportunity during our lifetimes of finding out if there was life anywhere else in the universe, or if there still is life anywhere else in the universe. Along with a lot of other people, I think there's an excellent chance that there is life elsewhere, and I think there is an excellent chance that there was life on Mars. But the question is, when you've got a whole planet to explore, how do you go about doing it, and who's going to pay for it, and should Australia be involved, and what are the problems of contamination of another planet and back contamination of Earth with, say, dangerous bacteria being brought back to here, and all those sorts of things. These are all issues that we need to think about. But I'll put it to you from a scientific point of view, using what we know about earliest life on Earth to then predict what there probably was, in my view, on Mars, and how to find it. And I think we can find it, and I think we can do it within the next 20 years, most probably, maybe sooner than that if we're lucky. And then I'd like to take you on a little journey to Mars and introduce you to some of the psychological problems of choosing a crew to go on that first journey or any other journey to Mars. I'm talking about a mission that could happen as early as 2011 in the view of some people. More likely it'll be somewhat later than that, maybe 2020 or 2030, but none of those dates are very far away at the moment. So I want you to think about that, and I want you to think about the problems of being on a crew that's going to go for 6 months in each direction, and then the way things happen to work out because of the particular orbital characteristics, spend maybe 550 days on Mars before you come back, and who you want to be cooped up with on that trip. And they're only, at the moment, we're in the middle of a major exploration program of the solar system. It really is one of the greatest exploration programs in human history. And it started, of course, with the space race between the Soviet Union and the US in the 1950s and 60s. It was 1957 when the first satellite was launched by the Soviet Union, you might remember. Those of you who are my age will remember that. I went out and looked at it in 1957 in October. And that's when it all began. And before then, we only had fuzzy images of the planets like this. But already we knew that there were no canals on Mars. Now, I've got to disappoint some of you straight away. There are no canals on Mars. There aren't any pyramids on Mars. And there is no face on Mars. Now, if you want to leave now, that's okay. If you want to ask me later how I know, that's okay too. Since this sort of image was taken in the 1950s and early 1960s, there have been 39 attempted missions to Mars, and a huge amount has been learnt. But we still know almost nothing about life on Mars. It's still largely speculation. But we've learned a great deal to limit that speculation and to show us that it's a real possibility, and there's a lot of interesting stuff that's been learnt. But as I said before, Earth is our model, and what I want to do first is show you about the first 3 billion years of life on Earth. That's the time that's relevant. And why is that relevant? One of the most important things that was learnt by the early missions to Mars from both the Soviet Union and NASA in the late 1960s and 1970s was that early in the history of Mars, it had a climate very similar to the climate of Earth at the same time. And that time was between maybe 2.5 billion years ago, that's 2,500 million years ago, and 4 billion years ago, 4,000 million years ago. So what I'm going to focus on first is that early part of Earth and Mars history, say 2 to 4 billion years ago. And so we look to Earth to see what was around in terms of life 2 to 4 billion years ago, and we find, but even here it's a fairly scrappy record. We have a limited number of rocks of the appropriate age from Earth way back then. We have lots of younger rocks, but the further we go back in Earth history, the fewer well-preserved rocks there are for paleontologists like myself to work on. And so there are lots of gaps in our knowledge, and we have to make extrapolations, hypotheses, interpretations to try and fill the gaps. But over the last 20 years, something has happened in biology that allows us to make very powerful predictions about what early life might have been. And that's the development of what's called molecular biology, in which the detailed chemistry of the genetic molecules in different types of life can be compared, and that can be used to build up a family tree of all life. And that family tree allows us to predict back to what might have been on the early Earth. Has revealed just really in the last 10 years that there are three great groups of modern life on Earth. The bacteria, everybody's heard of bacteria, the archaea, which used to be incorporated within the bacteria, and these things called the eukarya. And there are we, and these are all the familiar forms of life to us, all the plants and animals. So they're on those few twigs in this tree of life. Apart from those few twigs, which include mushrooms are our closest relatives on this scale. Apart from those few twigs, all the rest of the organisms on this tree of life, modern organisms, are microscopic or close to microscopic. Nearly all of life on Earth is microscopic. And so when we think about life anywhere else in the universe, we shouldn't be thinking just about these few twigs here. We should be thinking about the possibilities of the whole of life. And we have to remember that it's very likely, if this is a reasonable model for life anywhere else, that nearly all of life in the universe is microscopic. Every now and then, perhaps, if there is life in lots of other places, something might have evolved to something like these few twigs, higher organisms. And then there's only one little twig in there, one perhaps significant twig, depending on your point of view, that's intelligent. So that's one of the points that I think is intriguing. We focus on intelligent life in the universe when we're thinking about that. We think about aliens and UFOs and listening for television from Alpha Centauri and that sort of thing. But that's an insignificant, in a sense, an insignificant part of life. My focus is on microscopic forms of life and how to find these things. But the contention is that if we find any form of life that's equivalent to any of these things, then it's no less significant than finding a television signal from Alpha Centauri. It's life, it might be equivalent to a bacterium, but it has the potential to tell us that life originated more than once. And that's the purpose of this sort of exploration program that I've been involved in with NASA and other places for a decade. We're not focusing on looking for just this little bit of this type of life, but life as a whole, and life as a whole is largely microbes. Now the other intriguing thing about this is that we predict from this, is what, as I say, biologists have learnt from modern organisms, we get back to near the origin of life, which would be down at the bottom of this diagram, to this first branching point in the tree of life, and that's called the last common ancestor. And all of the twigs down there, which are coloured red, are for organisms that like to live at very high temperatures. All these microbes like to live at more than 80 degrees centigrade. So again, if Earth is a model and we're looking for this sort of life, say on Mars, then we might want to focus on high temperature environments such as hot springs like those in Rotorua in New Zealand or Yellowstone National Park or something like that. This construct is a very powerful predictive hypothesis. And what we can't learn from the geological record, we can predict from this universal tree of life that biologists have given us. Thank you.